You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
All right. How we doing, everybody? How we doing, Westside Church? You guys doing all right? I stand before you as the number one global top, you know, whatever that was, like the guy of the guys of all guys, right? Candidates of the world. But my wife and I, my name is Greg. My wife is, her name is Dawn Russell. And, you know, we are currently leading in the Lifeway Church and have been on staff for almost 15 years. And man, it's been a very long journey. It would, you know, as we're kind of looking at what does it look like to, there she goes. I was looking for my wife. I was like, where's my wife at? There she goes. Beautiful woman right there. I was like, where is the most beautiful? Oh, there she goes. All right. All right. All right, guys. I know I get to do it. You know, you come up, do communion. You can do it too. It's up to you. Amen. But just to share a little bit about us, just to kind of go out. My name is Greg. This is my wife and our two kids. You guys might have seen them. One, my son, his name is Sean. He's our youngest. And then my oldest, his name is Miles. And this is actually at an incredible, can I share some good news with you guys? Just good things that's going on. So something that's really cool. My wife, she just graduated for her master's degree at CSUN. Her MSW, you know, in social work. And she's going to share a little bit more about that as well. But this is just at her graduation. We're as a family getting a chance to, how does it look? Look at, okay, yeah. You get to see the family there. These are our two boys, Miles and Sean. Man, these guys are amazing. They're incredible young men. They're very smart, intelligent. They get along very well. Would you believe that? If I told you? Some of you are looking at me like, I don't believe you. And I was like, you know, it is what it is, you know. But they're awesome. They're amazing. Really great boys. 9 and 6. One of them, he plays football. He's been playing football for the last couple of years. Plays tackle football out there. That's Miles. And then Sean, he just finished up baseball right before the summer. And they're just very active, very awesome kids. Sean, if you want to know anything about Sean, Sean has a heart of gold. The kid just really, really loves people. He cares about people very deeply. And he's always asking questions and trying to figure out how can I or is there a way that I can help somebody else? And Miles, he knows everything. Between him and the encyclopedia, he knows everything, okay? The guy is just very, very smart, very intelligent kid. So those are our boys. We really love them, really encouraged by them. And this is also another picture just of our family, those who are on staff with us down in Lifeway. And man, we're just really being able to celebrate Dawn at this incredible accomplishment that she had in her own life. So you see our boys, they're holding these two, like, you know, these two, like, pieces of paper, right? They're holding these things. These are two awards that Dawn got on top of what she had when she graduated at CSUN. There was only 4 awards given. And Dawn took 2. She was like, I'll take half. I'll take half of whatever y'all giving. And so, you know, I'm really proud of her, if you can't tell. I'm a very proud husband. I'm very proud of Dawn. You know, she's going to be continuing her education at UCLA. And I'm just really proud of her and who she is and what she's been in my life. And man, we've been married for 13 years. And in those 13 years, we've had incredible highs. We've had some very, very crazy lows. And but yet, God has just really brought us further and further along together and closer together as a family. And so I just really, really love her. I appreciate her. She really holds us together. She is my reasoning in many situations. Sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm like on, going. And then I don't realize it until it's a little bit too late. And then she's like, wait, I got something for you. Let me help you with this. And let me reason something out for you. And I'm like, you know what? Why didn't I just go to her in the first place? Why didn't I? She knows. Yeah, she is on point with it. So, you know, today we're going to be talking a little bit about something that's pretty, you know, near and dear to my heart. My preaching style, just so that you know, is that I like to be vulnerable. Is it okay if I'm vulnerable with you? I don't know you that well. I don't really know you, you know, so if I'm vulnerable and you make fun of me or you give me some type of like eye or some side eye or you look at me some kind of way, I might never come back. I may never come back, all right? But I really like to be vulnerable with the church. I like to talk about things that I'm dealing with currently, all right? I don't like talking about things that happened way, way back in the day when I was like 15 years old. You know, I'm like 35, 36. I don't have that far to go back on, okay? So I got to talk about what's going on right here and right now. So if you open your Bibles, let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. If you guys are with me, say amen.
Amen.
When you get there, you say, all right. All right, all right. Once you get there, how many of y'all turning in your Bibles? Some of y'all need to just turn your Bible on. I know it's on the screen, but it might be a good thing for you to look at it. You know, like get a little visual on the actual scriptures. Let some of that light shine into your body, you know? Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. This scripture right here sums up the reasoning behind why we as Christians do anything. Am I correct? Right here it says, man, like we do the thing that we do because we were rescued. None of us walked into the church perfect. None of us walked into the church great Christians, right? We walked in broken, plunged in the darkness of the world. We walked in with sin in our hearts, sin in our lives, tearing us apart. And we didn't have all the answers, but we knew that if we may take the invite, that somebody said, hey, come out, check us out, come be a part of this. We knew that there may be answers on the other side. And so that's why we came. That's why we first initiated. We came to church and we sat down and we heard a message and we heard someone's testimony. Maybe someone opened the Bible with you on a college campus and they opened the scriptures with you and they shared with you the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you take that, he takes you out of the darkness, and then he puts you into the kingdom of God. He puts you into the light. He puts you into this incredible place. He says, hey, I'm taking you out of darkness and I'm bringing you into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And we say the church, although we know the church isn't the kingdom in total, it is an outpost. It is a piece of it. It is a part. That's why we come to church on Sunday. That's why we serve the church. That's why we're here a part of this, because we know that this is an amazing place that God has brought us out of the world and rescued us. Have you been rescued before? Being rescued when there is no hope, the only thing that you can hold on to is that dear life that is given. And this is what we have our redemption in. This is what we believe in terms of what we believe. Hey, we are forgiven of our sins. This was the doing of God to us, for us. You guys with me? So when we think about our lives and we think about why we do what we do, maybe this is your first time coming out, your first time a part of the church, first time joining us here on Sunday, and you may be asking, man, why do Christians do the things that they do? Why do they go to church every Sunday? Why can't they just, you know, go every other Sunday? Or why can't they just go, you know, just purely online or whatever the case may be? Although we love you online. We love you. It's because that we are a part of a special fellowship that has been brought out of the dominion of darkness, that realizes that we all are part of an incredible mission, an incredible journey to continue to fight the good fight that was fought for us. And so as we go through life, we go through things, and yet when we go through things, things happen, right? You're on the freeway, somebody cuts you off, and all of a sudden that kingdom just feels so far away. It's like, this person just cut me off. Why are they going so slow? Maybe you're at work and somebody says something to you. We go through life and we deal with something, and I want to share about the things that I've dealt with. But some of us, we may get offended, right? How many of you guys have ever been offended before? You ever been offended? All right, some of you guys said, I've never been offended. Man, God bless you. I think you need to be leading like whatever Bible talks we got going on here. You should be if you've never been offended before, man, please, please come lead. We need you. We need you to be a part of whatever we're doing here. But if you're like me, you've been offended before. And what I've noticed is that the older I get, the easier it is for me to get offended by things. Just little things. Just out of nowhere. You feel that way? You get a little older and all of a sudden, like, somebody says something to you, like, what? You talking to me? I know you're not talking to me. Out of all the people that's here, you talking to me? No, he might be talking to you. You know what I'm saying? You get offended. You have these offenses that take place in your life. One here, one there, one over here. Something happens, someone says something to you. Maybe, just maybe, when you first came to church, you walked through the door and somebody said something to you and you were like, what in the world? And you held on to it. You see, that's what happens with offenses. That's what happens when you are offended. And yet, why do we talk about being offended? Why am I preaching a sermon about being offended or about bitterness? I'm preaching it because we know that God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And in Him doing that, we are called as Christians, as the ecclesia, the called out, that we're called to overcome this. Amen? And so if you're living right now and you've had an offense in your heart or you've had something go on in your life and you're feeling like, man, that person, they said something to me, I just want them to stay on that side of the church. Or that person, they said something to me, I want them to stay on that side of the church. Or that person, I just hope they don't ever come around me. They should stay over there. If you're feeling like that today, just know that, hey, that's something that naturally happens and naturally occurs in the world. But it's something that God shares with us that we can overcome. Amen? So here in Hebrews, keep going here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. What are we doing here, right? Just stop, pause. What are we doing here? We're trying to see to it. We're trying to make sure. We want to be certain that no one falls short of the grace of God, and then that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. You guys have all heard this before, right? You've heard this before? You guys with me? You guys have heard this before, right? Hold on, raise your hand if you heard this before. You heard the scripture before. I've heard the scripture before a lot, especially as a pastor. I've heard the scripture a lot. And you know, I've heard it and I thought, man, this is a really good passage for so-and-so. This is so good for them, for those people, for that one over there, especially him. Oh, her, she needs this. I've read this for years and years and years, and yet that is what I always felt. Until it started to happen in my own life. Until I started to feel this creeping, lingering feeling of bitterness take hold of me. You know, bitterness is never just personal. That's what I've learned. It spreads. It's never something that just, oh, I'm just gonna deal with it over here, which that's really the lie about all sin, right? We have this saying in the religious world that my personal relationship with God. And yet, there's nothing personal about our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is one that is dealt with in community. And we are actually judged accordingly to how we respond to God and others in community. It's a communal faith. There's absolutely aspects of you needing to go and make sure you read your Bible and do your personal things. But we're doing it, why? Not so that we can just go become, you know, desert monks out waiting for the rapture. That's not what we're doing. We're doing it because we are a part of something special. And we are part of what God has envisioned for His people since the very beginning. And yet he speaks to this. The writer in Hebrews speaks to this and says that we got to make sure, we got to be certain that there's no bitterness that grows up and defiles people. So if you wanted to, you know, what are we talking about? We want to make sure that there are no bitter roots. Because, you know, bitterness, it costs you and the people around you something. And we got to ask ourselves, what is bitterness costing me? What does bitterness cost me? What does it cost you? How much? How much does it cost me to hold on to something that lingers? What does it cost? I would say that eventually bitterness will cost you everything. When I feel bitter or something's going on, it affects my relationship with my wife. She may not even be the object of why I'm bitter, but guess what? She's getting the wrath of it. She's catching the other side of it. My kids, if I'm not careful as a father, we are training our boys. We're raising them up to be young men.
Come on, Greg.
We want them to go out into the world, to shoot them like arrows, and for them to be difference makers wherever they go. And as parents, that's what we want. We want our kids to go out into the world and make a difference, to do what they feel confident in doing and building that confidence in them. But guess what? If you struggle with bitterness, it's going to seep into that relationship somehow, some way. They may not even be the object of it. They may not understand why. And yet for some reason, they're catching the brunt end of that. That's what bitterness costs us. You know, bitterness is like, it's a saying that we've all known, right? It's like drinking poison, hoping it will kill your enemy. It's literally like, man, you know, I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to drink it. Man, I'm hoping that if I drink this, they feel this. And yet, that's not how it works. Because we know what roots do, right? Invisible roots always yields visible fruit. When you're dealing with something in your life that may seem invisible, that may seem, you know, so deep, no one really knows about it, it's there, you've never drudged it up, you never picked it up, and you're thinking, it doesn't hurt nobody, it's not hurting anyone. You ever heard of a house just getting completely just jacked up because of the roots? It gets in the plumbing, it could crack the foundation. And if those roots don't do what the roots are supposed to do, that house, that tree could fall on that house and break that entire house down. Bitterness will cost you something. The roots that are in the ground will cost you something. These roots could have been sown 30 years ago, 40 years ago. They could have been sown last week, and you may think, I don't need to deal with it. Those are things that, you know, I'm just, maybe you may misquote Paul and say, it's just a thorn in my side. It's just something I have to carry. But this ain't it. That's not what Jesus is talking about. That's not what Paul is talking about. That's not what Peter speaks about. That's not what the Gospels preach about. It preaches that we live in a kingdom. And we understand the cost of our secret sin. You may be holding on to the offense, but the offense is reshaping you. That's what I've learned during this time when I've dealt with this stuff. You know, the cost of keeping bitterness, there's two things. There's a personal cost and there's a relational cost, right? The personal cost, right? Hatred and holiness, we know that they just cannot coexist in the same heart. So you can almost create like an if-then true statement that if someone claims to be a Christian and hates someone, then they truly are not a Christian. Is that fair? Is that a fair statement or no? I think that's pretty fair. If someone is dealing with hatred in their heart, then holiness is being suppressed in their life. Or is that a fair statement? I think that's pretty fair. We have to be careful what we allow in our lives, in our hearts, in our homes. We got to be careful what we allow, right? Because every moment you nurse bitterness, you forfeit your intimacy with God. That's just the truth about this. I'm just sharing with you what I've seen in my own life. These are things that I've truly had to deal with. The relational cost, right? When we invite others into our bitterness, how many of you guys have ever done that before? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. That one, you just keep that to yourself, okay? How many, some of y'all about to go straight up, I've done it. I've been divisive. I've absolutely hurt people. I've done it. I've said something. I wanted to. But that's our instinct, right? When we're feeling something and we've been wrong, we want people to come to our side and say, hey, you see how they wronged me? You see how they wronged me? Let me show you how they wronged me. Let me see how that happened. I'm just getting open. How many of you? Ooh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't you sit up in here and look at me like that. I told you I won't come back. we become a stumbling block in other people's pursuit of faith when we start to say, hey, come to my side. Come over here and see it from my perspective. See it my way. Oh, you see it my way? We're friends. You know, our wounds become their obstacles. We gotta be careful how and who and when we share these things when we're dealing with them. So I've told you about, you know, all the bitterness that happens, right? But how do you kill a bitter root? I'll share with you a little bit. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up and my dad was practically absent for like the first 12 years of my life. I lived in Tennessee and my dad lived in California, and we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have Instagram, you only were able to pick up the phone and call. And I'm telling you, maybe in the 12 years or so, I probably talked to him maybe at 10 times. And I remember being told that, hey, your dad's gonna come get you someday. And I would look up as a kid, you just don't know how this is gonna happen, so you just kinda come up with the way that's gonna happen. I'm like, okay, he's on that plane right there. You look straight up, he's on that plane, he's gonna come down and then my dad's gonna come and he's gonna absolutely get me out of this place. He's gonna be my dad and I'm gonna be his son. It's gonna be amazing. And I held on to that until it got to a point where I realized, man, this just isn't gonna happen. And I remember feeling like I just don't wanna be around, even if he did come at this point, I don't even wanna be around him. Lo and behold, I get flown out to to California. That's a story for another day. But I'm here. First person I meet, they're a disciple, or they're not a disciple, they're kids of a disciple at Overwright Middle School. And then I start coming to church. And so I spend time with my dad. And I realized as I studied the Bible when I was a teenager at 16, that this was something that I had to overcome. That I had to let this go before it destroyed my entire life. And what I did, I think when I was a kid, I really did trust old people. Like I trusted the people that were around me that said the thing. Chris Tober's right here. He's one of the old guys. Chris Tober, he told me, hey man, hit them books before them books hit you. That's a quote. I remember it. I didn't even write it in my notes. I just remember, I look at his face and I remember what he said. I trusted that and I was like, you know what? I probably should study before somehow studying hurts me. Or not, the lack of study hurts me, right? I trusted the people around me. And I remember people telling me like, man, you gotta be careful with the bitterness. And I thought, man, you know what? I've overcome the bitterness with my dad. I forgave him. It's over, I'm ready to go. And yet, through my life, there are more moments that I had to deal with this offense, these things that were going on in my life. There was more moments like that, right? So I got a couple of moves that we can make, things that I felt like I had to do and I still need to do as time goes on, because those things happen and you get offended, things take place, but you gotta work through them, right? So you gotta expose the object of your bitterness. This is the first move. You gotta expose it. You cannot fight what you refuse to name. Healing begins with honesty. That's what I know I had to realize. So here's my list of the big things. These are big offenses, big things that happened in my life that I had to overcome or that I had to name so that I could overcome them, right? My dad, he was absent. I had to name that. I had to actually share that and talk about that with people in order to overcome that. My mom, she was harsh and she was critical with me. I love my parents. I love my mom, love my dad to death. They're like, my dad's like my best friend now, by the way. Like, he's like one of my best friends. Okay. Sure, thanks, man. My mom, love my mom to death. She calls me for advice. Thank you. Yes, my mom, she loves me. She's there. Guys, I could have easily, my mom being on the other side of the country, I could have easily just said, you know what? She was harsh. She was critical. I'll see her. I guess. Whatever. But I had to work through that stuff in my own heart. My younger brother, we were out and we were running the streets back when I was a young kid. And we got into a predicament and he ran away from me and left me by myself. Again, another story for another time. These are like a preview of the stories. If y'all like want to know more about these stories, I gotta have me back, all right? A relationship that ended in betrayal. I remember when I was in high school and I was dating some girl and dude, she totally like broke up with me because she got a D on one of her tests. Sure. Only to find out that she was like cheating on me with some other guy. She ended up dating him and it was a whole thing. It really hurt me, man. I know it was high school, but it hurt. Some real pain out there in high school kids. Teens, y'all know, you're really feeling it. A best friend abandoned me. The person who brought me out initially to church abandoned me, left me. Said, hey man, when you're ready to own up to what you did, which I didn't do anything, you can come and call me and apologize for what you've done. And I was like, what is this? And yet it was such a deep wound that I had to deal with for years. This was actually like where I really realized that bitterness will mess me up. This was like my brother from another mother. Luckily, we've been able to reconcile and overcome these things, and we're good friends. We're working on it. It takes time to get back into the swing of things. Trust isn't all the way there, but it's working on it. And yet, life continues to go on. Like, I'm sending pictures of my kids. He's sending pictures of his kids, and we're able to talk about this stuff. You know, I was overlooked for an opportunity. In the ministry, I was overlooked. I thought I was going to get an opportunity, and I didn't get it. Totally started. You may be at work, and you feel like you've been overlooked, and things happen at work. And it makes you feel a kind of way about the people around you, right? My contributions went uncredited. I made some contributions, I've said some things, I've done some stuff, and no one came back and said, you know what, thanks for Greg. Greg did that, man. Greg, clap it up. No one did that. And somebody else does it, and it happens for them, and I'm like, wait a second. What's going on here? You know, I suffered under abusive leadership. I've had leaders say horrible things to me, things that they absolutely should never have said. And those things can plant a seed here, plant a seed there. And it wasn't my fault that they said those things, but guess who has to deal with it? We do, right? And that's the hard part. That's the hard part, right? We got real roots, we got real pain, real things that happen in our lives. You know, in Ephesians, I'm going to bring up Don here in a second. Ephesians 5:11, it says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. You read this passage, it's easy to think, you know, I got to expose the bitterness in your heart. I'm going to expose you. I got my light. No. Okay. Time out. Pause. You need to expose your own heart. You are responsible. Like who? Guess what, guys? You going to heaven? How many of y'all going to heaven? Yes. Y'all better be confident in this. Only like a half of y'all going to heaven? Only half the church is going to heaven? All right. Y'all said it. Guys, if you want to go to heaven, you better be exposing your own heart. You better not be waiting for somebody to expose you. You better not be waiting for someone to tell you what's going on in your heart. Only you know what's going on. The things that you're struggling with, the things that are happening in your life, only you know. And if you wait for somebody else to expose it, it might be too late. Because that bitterness defiles other people around you, right? Exposure, we got to get ourselves understanding that as a Christian, exposure isn't shame. When something is exposed, it doesn't mean that you're being subjected to shame. It's the first act of courage towards freedom. That's what it does. It takes so much courage for you to step forward and say, you know what, this has been going on in my heart. This is what's happening in my life. It takes so much courage, and it's hard to deal with this stuff. As a minister, I've counseled people through their lives and through things. I've had to deal with divorces. I've had to deal with deaths. I've had to deal with so much stuff that's personal in people's lives. And I'm telling you, it just tears people apart. It hurts them so badly. And God doesn't want you to sit there in your pain. He acknowledges that the things that you're going through are difficult. But you have an apparatus, you have a tool, you have a community that will rally around you. And that's what the church is. Amen? You cannot heal from what you are unwilling to admit. Denial preserves the wound. Honesty begins to cure it. I'm going to bring up Don.
I must say, when Greg shared with me this lesson, I was like, are you sure you want to talk about such a heavy topic for our first time here, our second time? I know we were with you guys maybe a couple years ago. And I was like, it's summer. Let's keep it light. Let's keep it chill. He's like, I really believe God has put this on my heart. And I think it really did expose something in me, you know, that I like to keep things, it's preferable and safer to keep things on a shallow level. But one thing I learned in my master's program, which I got my master's in social work, and I'll be continuing on that degree in social work at a PhD at UCLA, like Greg mentioned, is that we can't take people further than we've taken ourselves. And so much of my program was dealing with my own trauma. And this idea that healing really does occur in community. And I really do believe that if our family is to join this family here, what better way for you guys to get to know us than to know our wounds that we have carried, how God is healing us and how God is transforming us, and the continual healing process that God is bringing us forward, because healing happens in community. And so a little bit about of me is that I grew up in West Adams, not too far from here. And yes, in West Adams, and I didn't know it growing up. Oh, some people from West Adams, awesome. Hey, y'all. I didn't know it at the time as a kid, but I was pretty privileged. I grew up in a middle-class family, and I went to great schools in Westwood. I went to Fairburn Elementary and Emerson Middle School in Westwood. And the reason why I didn't know that I grew up privileged, because inside my home was a very different story. I grew up in a violent home. You know, many nights I spent breaking up fights between my stepmom and my dad, where some of the blows landed on me. I usually fell asleep in class because I wouldn't get home till sunrise after spending nights in a parked car while my stepmom and dad got their fixes in strange places. They struggled with drug addiction. And you know, that bitter root Greg is talking about made me feel as a young kid that I had a really unfair start to life. And I'll look at my peers in Westwood who looked very different than me, had very different lifestyles than me, and think, why do they look like that? Why is their life so much easier compared to my own? And it was a quiet bitterness, because as a kid, I looked happy, you know. I was taught to fix my face. You know, what happens in this home stays in this home. And so I presented very well. But on the inside, even as a young kid, my roots of bitterness were really deep. So it was a surprise to my family that at the age of 13, I ran away from home. And that is actually where I first experienced God's goodness. You know, I entered the foster care system, particularly a kinship care program that placed me with my older sister. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I was a knucklehead teenager. Like I said, those bitter roots grew very deep. And the way that I dealt with those bitter roots as a teenager was living a very reckless life. And a turning point happened at my life when I was 16 years old and I was dating a gang member and I had a gun pulled out on me. And I remember thinking, I really need to rethink the decisions and trajectory of my life before I don't have one anymore. Yeah, it's probably a good thought. And so I prayed to God at that time that God would send me someone to help me live my life for him. And around that time, I was living in Long Beach with my sister, and we were reached out to, and I studied the Bible for about a year, and I got baptized in our teen ministry in Long Beach in 2006. You know, as Greg has been sharing, bitter roots are very deep, and mine were very deep. And I'm also a gardener, so I understand how one root can grow into so many different directions and grow their own plants all over the place, maybe even miles away in your yard that you didn't even know was connected to one root. One of the most frustrating things that I have as a gardener is sometimes digging 3-4 feet to try to dig up roots. And Greg will tell you, there's times where I need him to get outside and help me with some roots.
I would dig.
Yes, because I can't get those stubborn roots out that are killing my garden. And all my childhood trauma had, you know, I had dug some bitter roots in me even after I got baptized. You know, those bitter roots have followed me into my marriage, into motherhood, and it has followed me into ministry. And I've been a Christian for about 20 years and have been a minister for about 15 of those years. And I didn't and haven't always recognized all those ways that bitterness has impacted me. And like Greg said, it's like drinking poison. You know, most recently, really recent, like last year, a disagreement happened between some families, and it resulted in a relationship being cut off. And my children were caught in the middle of it. And as a mom, you know, when my kids are suffering or my kids are hurt, I surpass sadness and anger and I go straight to bitterness. I'm a mother bear. I want to protect my children at all costs. And this situation that had unfolded, like I said, my kids were caught in the middle of it and I was so, so bitter. And, you know, I prayed and I fasted. I had lots of times with sisters in the church that helped me through that bitterness. Lots of times with my therapist about it. Weeks went by, months went by, a couple years went by, and that bitter root was still there. I'm getting my time mixed up because I said it was just last year, but it was actually a couple years ago. But I would say just recently, even this year, after Jesus has been so patient with me, that bitter root had finally been uprooted. And that I don't know who I would be or where I would be without Jesus. I remember a therapist told me one time when I was in college that, you know, I've met many people like you in therapy sessions who've had childhood trauma like you, but something's different about you. You know, I don't even know why you're in this office, which is a very weird thing for a therapist to say, but I digress. Because you just have this joy and this hopefulness about you. And it's like, well, I'm a Christian. I gave my life to God, you know, when I was a teenager. And that if it wasn't for Jesus, and I'm sure all of us can relate here, that there's no hope for any bitterness to ever be uprooted in our lives. And that I'm so grateful that Jesus was patient with me all those years with the situation with this family because the bitterness was impacting me physically. You know, I was suffering from migraines. I was having anxiety attacks, sleepless nights. I was being more short-tempered with my husband, and like I said, because my kids were in the middle of it, I was having a hard time even explaining and helping them through this situation because I wasn't, you know, resolved in it. But I just remember, you know, it was just a season where Jesus lifted this bitter root, this burden from me, and that I'm so grateful to say that I finally have my peace restored. And the situation is, unfortunately, it still is what it is. It's, I'm at peace, but the relationship is still what it is. And that is just the beauty of what God can do, that although sometimes our circumstances may not change, but Jesus can change our hearts and uproot the bitterness, and we can still move forward and have a great amount of peace. So thank you, guys. You guys are so sweet. So Greg is going to finish us out here, and thank you guys for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you so much, babe. I think that that's just the way that it is for us, that we have to understand that, you know, our bitterness does and can defile many people, but we can write the story in our lives through Christ. Amen. So thank you so much for that. That's why we do what we do. That's why we are able to overcome these things. It is because we understand that we've been rescued, right? That's what we keep returning back to, and we understand it. So move two, let's get this thing rolling, right? Move two, you got to cancel their debt, right? You need to cancel people's debt. Forgiveness is not saying what happened was okay. It is releasing your right to collect what is owed to you. And we got to be willing and ready to do that. Amen? We got to be willing to cancel people's debt. How many of us, we felt like it was so amazing when our debts were canceled, right? In Matthew 18, verse 31 to 35, it talks about this in a parable, right? The master called the servant. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? This is how your heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart." And so it's really important that this is something that we engage in constantly, right? As often as it comes up, this is our go-to, that we have been forgiven. So guess what? We forgive others, right? If we've been forgiven, if somebody forgave me, if Jesus forgave me, I am now going to take the harder road and go and pursue forgiving other people in my life. All right. So forgiven people forgive people. We've heard the saying, hurt people hurt people. Forgiven people forgive people. That's the point. That's what we are. That's who we are as Christians, right? God canceled an unpayable debt on your behalf. The servant refused to cancel a comparatively tiny debt. And mercy is received, mercy received but not passed on reveals mercy that was never truly understood. We as Christians say that we really believe the things that we say. Well, show me. Show us. Show us. God says, show me that my mercy means something to you. Move number three, all right? It's the last move. You got to bless your offender. Bless and do not curse. You got to bless your offender. Forgiveness stops the bleeding, but blessing the offender closes the wound. Got to bless them. We get this example in Luke 6, 27. It says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." What? Guys, that's still in the Bible. I know. Guys, that is still there. You may have forgotten. God didn't. It's still there. It's been there for 2,000 years. "To those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." In your prayer life, do you have in your prayer life those who mistreat you? And I'm not saying you praying like, "God, remove them from," not all that. "God, I just want you to do what you know, I know you can do." No, let's not do that, guys. Let's say, come on, we're merciful, right? This isn't a weakness. I think a lot of times forgiveness and mercy can come across as weakness. It can make you feel like, man, they just keep taking advantage of me, I can't believe this, that they've, you know, like, they want me to just be out here and like die to myself daily, and they want me to like, you know, take up my cross, and oh my gosh, like, what is this? It's Christianity. Sorry, if you've signed up and you forgot or you didn't, and somebody didn't tell you this, I'm just here to make sure that we all are a part of it, amen? Got to make sure that we forgive people, right? True forgiveness, it is secondhand. This is what I want you to walk away with. Forgiving, we forgive because we were first forgiven. The cross is our motivation and our model. That's why we do the things that we do. That's why we forgive Christ. I mean, that's why we forgive others around us, because Christ forgave us. In Ephesians, this is where we're going to close. Ephesians 4, verse 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Just as in Christ God forgave you. This is the standard that we have. All of us, when we walked in, we were given, or we took, you know, our communion, right? I want you guys to take communion out. You got your communion, put it, get it in your hand. This is a little bit of Jesus. It might be on the floor next to you, on the right side, under your seat, underneath your chair. If you don't have one, you can raise your hand. The ushers will bring one to you. As we think about the cross, as we consider our relationship with Jesus, as we find ourselves in community and as a part of this church, I want you to remember the Lord. Remember what the Lord forgave you. Not just yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We hold this cup because what we believe. We drink the juice, which represents the blood that was shed for our sins, for our iniquities. And we eat the bread that represents the body that was hung on the cross and that was given for us. Let us, in doing so, find a way to become the juice and the bread today. Let's pray. Father, it is not easy, you know, for us to forgive people, even though we know that you forgave us. But Lord, I pray that we push ourselves to move past what Satan wants us to hold on to destroy us, to bring us low, to take us to places that we never want to venture. Allow us to be seen and heard in our own hearts by your words, to be cleansed by you, to be cleansed by the blood. Jesus, rescue us as you did yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.